Brilliant. Thank you, Kerry. Can we just have the slide back? Sorry, Dave. I know you're doing a good job there. Can we have the slide back for the festival just to give people a chance to have a look at what the stuff is that you can get involved in? So, yes, be thinking about that as I talk. So as Kerry said, my name is Dave and I get involved in community stuff. And it's my privilege to talk a little bit or explore a little bit about how we can live out our faith in our local community. Now, it's a special morning, not just because I'm speaking, obviously. It's a special morning because we have several guests with us this morning, which is really great. You guys are really welcome wherever you are. We have Recharge, we have Maidenhead, we have MenCap, we have Royal Borough of Windsor Maidenhead Fostering, we have Food Share, Family Friends, Maidenhead Care. We'll be hearing a little bit from them later on, but yeah, make them feel very welcome and thank you all for coming. So, this morning, I want us to take a little bit of an exploration of the whys and the why nots and the hows of getting involved and serving people in our community. Now, on one level, I could stand here all morning, literally all morning, and wax lyrical about all the fantastic reasons why we should be involved in the community and serve people and talk about the heart of God and the love of Christ and the need and all that stuff. But I want to give an honest hearing to some things that I genuinely hear people say in terms of actually why you don't get involved. Some of them are practical and some of them are perhaps a bit more emotional or spiritual. So I want to look at some of those and wrestle with some of those, and then we're going to have a chance to explore practically what we might do at the end. Right, that slide does need to go now. Ingrain it on your brain, because we've got a little video from people who are already out there doing stuff week in and week out, which you want to hear from.
We get involved in Street Angels.
I volunteer for MenCap and have for about 8 years.
Outreach and things like Love Shield.
I really love doing work in community.
I've been going out on the streets in Maidenhead on the Healing of the Streets team.
God just gave me a path and opened some doors and gave me an opportunity to go out and work with the community, meeting families and lots of different people and making lots of friends.
I love being able to have a chance to show God's love to community or people I meet. So Lady Bird was a great opportunity to be able to do this.
I wanted to show a bit of the love of Jesus on the streets.
And I just want them to have an encounter with our Heavenly Father. Originally I started because I wanted to give back to the community, but actually now I get so much out of it. It really energises me. It's so much fun to be with these guys and it really puts life into perspective. It's quite a humbling experience.
I just love to take the Word of God out to the people who don't know anything about him, just offer to pray for them.
It's a real honour to just be Jesus for that person on a really bad day.
And I also really have a heart for seeing people grow, so seeing the children grow and develop in who they're meant to be, and seeing the adults develop in who they are meant to be as well, who God's created them to be.
It's a bit like Alpha. You have conversations with people about real things that are just different. Not that speaking with people in church is boring, of course, I understand that. But
I just generally love being around people and hanging out with people and building friendships with like-minded people and mums and dads in similar positions to me.
When they know somebody's actually thinking of them and praying for them and just standing with them, it's normally the most simple of acts that have the most profound impact, I found.
It may be stage one of their 246 experiences of God, but it's got to start somewhere, isn't it?
Some of them are so severely disabled and actually they have so much fun in life. So it's so much fun to go there every Monday and I shall continue to do that.
It's good fun, you know, and if we're not sharing our faith, there's something lacking as far as I'm concerned. You just have to do it in your own way.
Great, thank you guys. Can we give them a round of applause as people? They're not the only ones, but they are, you know, you guys are heroes, you know. You guys are actually, for a lot of us, leading the way and showing us how it can be done and how you weave it into your life, so thank you. Okay, Dave, cue the next presentation. So what I want to look at, before we get into what I want to look at, what I don't want is this. I don't want feelings of guilt or judgment. Because there's no room for that. I'm not sitting in judgment of you, and neither is God. as Gary Larson depicted in this famous cartoon. God has not got the smite button ready if you're not serving your community. And I don't know any pianos like that that are hanging and suspended from whatever, windows. It just doesn't happen. So I want you to take that away and let's just look at what we can do and what's going on. Okay, I wanted to pick out three main things that I think act as barriers to us serving people in our community. I want to start with an obvious one. No time. Let's be honest, guys, we live in a really time-poor age. We feel constantly short on time, trying to cram everything in. Probably a lot of you have thought at times, do you know what, I barely get enough time with my family. I barely have enough time to do my job. How does my church expect me to go and do community service or spend time with people in the community? It just feels like we're juggling and it's someone throwing another ball in that we've got to, oops, that we've got to juggle. And I get that. I totally get that. As some of you know, Laura and I spent 2 years out in Cambodia, and we really had a perspective on time turned upside down by spending time there. It became this interesting dynamic where we would be the ones rushing around doing stuff and trying to complete all these tasks every day, and when we're out there, we're doing mission and development work, and we wanted to get things done. And then we'd have like our friends and our neighbors and people that we met, Cambodians, they would just be sitting there, spending time with each other, hanging out. And I remember one day my neighbor said, why have you got to rush off again? And it just made me think, why do I have to rush off? And of course, it's because our culture tells us that our value, the value in our time, is spent doing things, achieving tasks, getting things done. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with that on one level. But I just want us to be thinking in the back of our minds about our time. And I want to ask you a question, and it's not one that I'm comfortable with when I think of the answer, but does our time really reflect our values? Does the way we spend our time really reflect what's important to us? Does it? It's a thought. Okay, a second thing. Again, let's be real. Some of you here, like the people in that video, have done a really good job of building bridges and making connections with people in our community. They've run projects or got involved in them or have just been very proactive with neighbors or people on the larch field or whatever it is. But actually some of us, you know, we struggle connecting. We struggle having that connection. And actually it leaves us thinking questions like this. And I've heard this and you probably have thought this too. Well, isn't my workplace my mission field? Shouldn't I spend time with my family who also need to know the love of Jesus? Shouldn't my focus be on people that I'm connected with, people in my sphere of influence? Well, I've got a lot to do there. Why try and go out on this bridge and find people who are in need within the local community? So in short, the answer to all those questions is yes, absolutely. Those are great. Absolutely. Go for it. Jesus laid down an interesting challenge, which I guess is part of the reason I'm standing here, because it's a challenge I struggle to ignore. Jesus paid special attention to the outcast, the downcast, the poor, the bottom of the pile, the neglected. In fact, Jesus went through extraordinary lengths to reach them. He jumped through social hoops, he leapt over cultural roadblocks, and he ignored lots of cultural norms. He went out of his way to reach people that were not part of his sphere of influence, that were not part of his family or the people that he could immediately influence from the way he was brought up. And Jesus asks us to do the same. If you have Bibles, you may open them. I'd like to look at this passage. It's a passage we know well. Do you know what? I'm going to read it instead of opening the Bible and spilling my water. Okay, it's a passage. Jesus is speaking to the crowds, and one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. Brilliant. Fantastic. We know this verse, a lot of us, don't we? And we actually know the bit that follows on, but we don't often join them together. The bit that follows on is that the religious leader wanted to, the expert in the religious law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbour? And that was a very interesting question. Now, the story that we know well is the story of the Good Samaritan. What Jesus doesn't tell the leader, the religious expert, is the obvious answer. Jesus doesn't go, well, who's your neighbor? Well, of course, it's the person who lives next to you. It's your family. It's the people you can influence. It's anyone or everyone you touch or come into contact with. All of those would have seemed quite acceptable answers. But no, Jesus goes out of his way to tell a parable, a story, which doesn't give a logical answer. He told a story of a Samaritan reaching out to help a Jewish man in need. So a lot of us know the story. The Jewish man was going down the road to Jericho, beat up, laying on the floor. All the people who are nice and good ignore him. And the Samaritan comes and helps him. Now, a lot of us will know the context of that. And the context was that Jews and Samaritans, no. They didn't mix. They weren't good. But the bit that we miss in that isn't just, oh, Samaritans can be good people. There's something else going on there. Let's just take a step back. So Jews and Samaritans, long-standing hatred. The Samaritans basically opposed the setting up of what was the initial kingdom of Judah, the first Jewish state, if you liked. There was bad blood. The Samaritans practice a bit of a mix of animist worshipping of idols and Jewish faith. So Jews really looked down on that. They were not fans. And there was a lot of hostility. So in the Bible, it actually says that when Jews traveled through Samaria to go to Jewish cultural festivals in Jerusalem, they would get a hard time. They would get a hard time going through. So there was a lot of animosity, a lot of contempt. So really, the word Samaritan was a word that you said contemptuously. Samaritan. That's how it would have been spoken. Now, Jesus comes along and says, loving your neighbor is about reaching out to someone in need on the furthest edge of the spectrum. Like, Jesus could have gone, you know, it's reaching out to your family. Jesus could have said, it's other Jews that you don't know. Jesus could have gone, you know, it's Gentiles, non-believers, that might come into Jerusalem. But Jesus goes, no, how about I take you all the way over here to the furthest spectrum, the people you hate the most, despise, who are against your religion and faith. Those are the ones that you are meant to connect with. That is what it means to love your neighbor. It's to love the person who is on the furthest edge of the spectrum from where you are. And that is really challenging. It's really challenging. Now, I have asked myself this question. I wonder if some of you do. Have you ever asked yourself, who are the modern day Samaritans? Anyone ever asked themselves that question? I thought about getting people to shout out, but it could get ugly. Yeah. So, sorry, who's thought in their mind, I wonder who the modern day Samaritans are? Anyone who's been a speaker or a preacher probably has. Okay. Do you know who I think? Yeah, brace yourself. Chavs and pikies. Do you know what? I've shocked some of you by saying that. But do you know what? The fact that you're shocked that I'm saying that is because those labels, and the way we say those words, chavs, pikies, show the contempt. Good. It's good. We like being challenged from the front. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the terms I'm using, a chav is a probably derogatory term used for someone who's, whatever. In America, it'd be poor white trash. It could be just people who are a little bit poor, there's a certain dress sense, cultural thing. Someone else can, yeah, huh? Council House environment sometimes. Pikeys, again, a not very nice term to use for travelers or gypsies. So what I was trying to demonstrate there is the fact that just even the way we say those words and hear them shows that culturally, actually, we really struggle often, particularly in our sort of, you know, easygoing middle class, Middle England culture, we struggle with these people groups. And I wonder if Jesus was here and he retold the story of the Good Samaritan and we said to him, well, Jesus, who are we meant to love? Who in our community are we meant to love? I wonder if Jesus would tell us a story of someone, perhaps who lives on a council estate, or someone who's a part of a traveler or gypsy community. I just wonder. So, guys, regardless of what the good that we are doing with our friends and our family, our colleagues, the Bible screams, and I've just used one story, but Jesus is life, and the Bible screams that we should have our radar out for the poor, the disadvantaged, the downtrodden, the despised, the people who are on the edge. It's just, it's hard to ignore when we read the Bible and we hear Jesus' words. Now, I just want a quick note on labels like poor, needy, disadvantaged. I know that they're not often nice, and we feel, oh, we don't want to use those or something. I just want us to think about them to help our radar and our focus. But actually, those labels often go and disappear once we have relationships. Once we have relationships and know people, those labels go. Relationships replace labels. They're okay to start with, but relationships replace labels. So where do we start? If we are struggling with that connection, where do we start? This is William H. Macy. He starred in a film called Magnolia, and he said this line, which I've stuck with me, and I was determined to use in a preach ever since. He says, I've got love to give. I just don't know where to put it. And if you are here and you're thinking, do you know what? I have got a heart for this. I've got love to give. I just, outside of my circle of influence, I just don't know where to put it. I don't know what to do with it. We are doing something, I'm just about to launch something called the Secret Service. If our welcome team could come and grab these little things. The Secret Service is your chance to give something of what you have in your hand to someone who needs some help. The idea is this: we would like to connect people in the church, like you, with people maybe in the church or on the outside of the church or in our community who have a practical need that needs to be filled. Maybe they need their garden doing and they're not on top of it. Maybe they need a plumber and they can't afford it. Maybe they need some legal advice because they've gotten in trouble. Maybe they're just overwhelmed by all the forms and bureaucracy of going through the local council. Maybe they just need someone actually to listen to their problem and help them break down the solution. Maybe they're struggling with debt and actually they want someone who's really smart with money to come and spend half an hour with them. What we want to do is we want to be that bridge, guys. We want to help you who you know. You know, you've got a skill, you've got a talent, it could be something practical. You know, maybe you fix things in houses or you've got legal advice to give. I just want you to be thinking about what are the things that you have in your hand that God has given you that actually you could use to bless someone who's really stuck in a tough place. We need to still work out practically what this looks like, but what we want to make sure is it is... it's secret in that what it's about is the church taking the responsibility and connecting you. So let's say, oh, I don't know, just pick on someone random, Sid. Let's just say, Sid, you could do stuff like, I don't know, repair houses, for example. And if you said, okay, I'd be willing to do that, you know, maybe a couple times, help someone with something practically a couple times a year, we would then, if someone came to us and said, I really need that, we'd come and check with you and go, Sid, are you available? Are you happy to do that? And you could say no or say, yes, I'm up for it, and it'd be coordinated through the church. With a little bit of logistics still to work out, but please, guys, hear our heart in this. We really want to be a church that doesn't just say, go, connect, go do. We want to be a church that gives you an opportunity to walk across the bridge and meet people in the community who are in need. So please do come forward with your ideas. Fill in the cards as well. Also, if you want to help us coordinate it, be like the coordinator, administrator, we're looking for someone in that. So that's going to be worked out, and hopefully we'll be launching that soon. Okay. Third and final, and I think potentially the biggest obstacle that a lot of us face. Do you know what? We look at the challenge and we just go, I'm not ready. Maybe you've heard yourself say something like this. I've heard this a lot. I'm not yet in that place spiritually. I need to be filled up with God's love first. I need to work on my relationship with Jesus before I can go and share Jesus. I need to be stronger in my faith before. I need to be full. I need to be overflowing. I understand where that comes from. I get that. And yet part of me, every time I hear a comment like that, I don't know, part of me, my heart sighs. I understand why we say it. I just wonder whether perhaps we've confused eligibility with effectiveness. Eligibility with effectiveness. Let me explain. Okay, this is Jesus. He's not been with his disciples very long. He's been with disciples probably a matter of months. And he decides to send them out. Calls them together, gives them power and authority to cast out all demons, heal all diseases, and then he goes and he sends them out. If you read that, you see, take nothing on your journey, no walking stick, traveler's bag, food, money, blah, blah, blah. He just sends them out with a message that the kingdom of God is near. Preach the good news, heal the sick. So, again, a lot of us know this story, but let's just take a step back and actually realize what Jesus has done. A chapter before, Jesus has chastised these same 12 people for not having faith. They're in a boat, they're panicking, we're going to sink, we're going to die. And Jesus is like, seriously, chill out, don't you have any faith? And we catch them later on repeatedly missing the point. They don't get who Jesus is. They don't get really what the mission is. These are a bunch of people thoroughly, absolutely, totally unprepared. They're unprepared practically. Jesus says, don't take stuff. They're unprepared theologically. I don't think they could probably give a four-point gospel or even explain why Jesus has come and that he's going to die and it's going to be for their sins. They wouldn't have been able to do that. It hadn't been revealed to them yet. Theologically unprepared. And spiritually, they were unprepared. We even know they were chastised for lacking faith. They would be chastised again for lacking faith. But yet, Jesus sends them out. Why? Why? Okay. You'd be one step ahead. All right, any other thoughts? Why? Why? Why has Jesus totally stitched them up? And just go to teach them, to test them. By giving, they'd receive. Depend on him. Those are good. Those are really good. Guys, being prepared can actually be a good thing. I know everything in our culture screams that we've got to be prepared. And hey, I'm not one for lacking preparation. I am prepared this morning, as you can see. But because God is a God of the gap, God is a God of the gap. When we take steps out and go, yeah, I can only do this bit. I'm meant to be over there. That's when God shows up. That's when he gives us the strength. That's when he gives us the courage. That's when he gives us the love in our heart. That's when he gives us the words to say. When we think we're already there, we don't really think about God that much because we're prepared. We've got it worked out. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to give. I can deal with the situation. That's fine. Leave room for God. He's the God of the gap. So guys, if that's you, if some of that speaks to you and you feel sometimes like, do you know, prayer on the streets, oh my life, I'm not there with my faith yet. Or even Larchfield Festival or some of the stuff that, some of the projects here. If you feel that gap, I want you to think about the God of the gap. Oh, yeah, let me go on. I'll tell you the story because I can't not put this picture. So here's my little story. I was 11 years old, and I arrived in the UK, son of missionary kids, raised in a good Christian school in Texas, coming over to state school in Birmingham. Oh, yes. My parents, so first day of school, my parents walk me to the school and then go, drop me off and go, you'll be all right, son. You can find your way back. So first of all, I get to the school. I'm like, okay, this school is way bigger, number one. Number two, oh, yeah, not everyone's Christian. Number three, I can't understand a word they're saying. All right, mate, how's it going? Where you come from? Excuse me, are you speaking English? It was a day of painful conversation where I had little brummy teenagers trying to break things down into bite-sized syllables. I didn't have some books that I needed for a class. So anyway, it was a whole day of being not prepared. And then I walked home, and of course, I'm 11. I didn't fully remember the route. I was like, I had a guy come with me, thankfully, oh my word. And I was like, okay, it's through the park. He's like, okay, we're through the park. This road vaguely looks familiar. Let's follow that. No, it's not there. It's not there. Anyway, we spent, I don't know, probably about an hour walking around the streets of our town while I looked for a house that I'd moved into 3 days ago. And I couldn't remember where it was. Eventually, I found it and I was home. And my parents, oh, you made it. I was like, yeah, yes. I was totally and utterly unprepared. And you know, in reflection, my parents have some blame on that. I was unprepared practically. I was unprepared emotionally. I was unprepared in terms of culturally. But you know what? In the same way that guy, he wouldn't have held my hand, this 12-year-old lad that walked me home. But in my mind, he did. He held my hand until I found home. And do you know what? That is what God does when we step out in faith to serve people where we're not sure quite where it's going, quite what to do, quite what to say, where are we going to find our way home. God takes our hand and helps us find the way. I won't tell you that story. I'm afraid we haven't got time. I love programs, I love projects, I love causes, I love structure. But also I know that those things are a means to an end. And I want to read out this quote to you because I think it captures some of the heart of what's happening here. It's from Shane Claiborne, who some of you will know, and I've got a book if any of you want to borrow him. He's a bit of an out there dude. Just as believers are a dime a dozen in the church, so are activists in social justice circles. But lovers are hard to come by. And I think that's what our world is desperately in need of. Lovers, people who are building deep, genuine relationships with fellow strugglers along the way and who actually know the faces of the people behind the issues they are concerned about. Do you know what? I read that and I struggle with it because I know I'm not there. I love my projects and my structures. You know, I could organize Larchville Festival every year if I wanted to. I'm not. Hiker's going to do a great job. But the real challenge is for me to put the time and build a connection and actually know the faces of the people behind the issues that I talk about. I'm exploring doing that with family friends. We as a family are thinking about how we do that. Laura's already doing that fantastically with Larchville Ladybirds. But that's the heart. And, you know, whatever happens off the end of today, if you do sign up for something or if you don't, I just want you to take that away, that actually, lovers, that is what the world needs. That's what Jesus calls us to. I would like to invite all our fantastic projects to come up. If there's any in the cafe area, perhaps someone could come and grab them. They are the following. Come on up. So, guys, come on up. If you are the representative of Larchville Ladybirds, Larchville Open Table, Prayer on the High Street, Recharge R&R, Food Chair, Family Friends, Street Angels, MenCap, Fostering, Maidenhead Care. Some of these people you will know, others you won't. Can we give them a really warm round of applause, really warm welcome? Right. Of course, you haven't stood in the order that I have you in, but that's okay. Right, MenCap provides support and recreational activities for adults with learning disabilities. How can people get involved in MenCap?
We've got three different clubs on Saturday, Mondays and Wednesdays. Come and volunteer, basically.
Okay, fantastic. Come and see Heike at the stall at the end if you want.
Sorry, I've also got more sign-up sheets for Larchfield, so I'm doubling up Larchfield. MenCap. So if anyone wants to come and chat to me, then talk to me over the MenCap stand.
Now, Street Angels. Okay, Catherine and Pietro. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to grab these guys before the service started. So, guys, Street Angels is a project where Christian volunteers help those who are on the streets of Maidenhead Town Centre on the weekends. Tell us how people can get involved practically.
Well, if you'd like to come along and talk to us, we can arrange for you to come out for a taster evening. You don't have to spend the whole night with us, a couple of hours. You'll soon get an idea of what we do. And I think you'll feel like us. We look forward to going out at 10:30 on a Saturday night.
Brilliant. Fantastic stuff. And you are together, yeah? Good. Just checking. I don't want to miss anyone out. Okay. Nigel here from Food Share. Food Share provides food packages for families who cannot afford to fully feed themselves. And I know we get behind Food Share. We collect items every week, and a lot of you know about this. Nigel, right now, how can people get involved in Food Share?
Okay, there's two ways that are really valuable. One is we're already doing is you provide food in the Food Share bag box for us. I should just tell you, these goes to people who wouldn't eat in a day if we don't provide the food. So it goes right to the heart. So very simple, very easy. What we try and ask is if people can simply deliver one tin or one item each time they come here. It makes a huge difference to the people who receive it. And the other is that we really love people, if you can spend an hour a month. Again, there's a whole series of different tasks we can have at different times during the day. We're dealing with the issues of practicality you were talking about. And if you want to come and spend an hour a month, there's a huge variety of things you can do. And again, each thing you do will directly impact on the people that we help.
Fantastic. And I believe there's a breakfast club that's also running again this summer, isn't there?
Yeah, and there's details of one of the several things we do is we're just starting a breakfast club. One of the great things about school holidays, of course, is there's no school. One of the problems is that the families who are really poor, the kids don't eat, because one of the good things about school is they get fed. So what we've organised is this breakfast club so that the kids that would have had their only nutrition at the school can now have it at the breakfast. And what we'd love is someone to come for about an hour a month or an hour a week would be even better during the holidays, to help us with the breakfast club. And it's simply serving food to kids that simply will not eat properly if we don't do it.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you, Nigel. This is Alison from Maidenhead Care. Now, Maidenhead Care, again, another scheme you guys probably have heard of. It's a good neighbourhood scheme that responds to needs of local residents, such as transport, visiting and shopping. Now, at the moment, how can people get involved with Maidenhead Care, Alison?
We're desperate to have new volunteers to join our pool of volunteers who take people to doctors, dentists, hospital appointments who haven't got family and friends around to do it for them. Also, we do escorted shop for and some home visiting and someone to train up to do actually take the telephone calls and do the bookings.
Okay, fantastic. Good stuff. So come and see Alison about that. Colin, why is Colin here, people say? A lot of you will know that Colin and his family are, well, your star foster carers of, they're on the website. There's a little video of them on the website you can check out. So you're representing the Borough Fostering. How can people get involved in foster care?
Well, if you have a spare bedroom and you love young people and you're prepared to love young people even when they may not be capable of loving you back, then you can come and actually take away some information packed at the back there on fostering. And actually, we'll put you in contact with the Royal Borough because they're looking for people to open their homes up and welcome kids from some of the most hurting families in our borough. And so it's nothing to be scared of. You may not feel like you're ready, as Dave said earlier, but actually it's just come along and the borough will take you through a long process of application and training and to see if you're ready for it. I'd recommend it.
Cool, good stuff. Thanks, Colin. This is Laura, Larchfield Ladybirds. We know her well. I know her very well. We're married. Larchfield Ladybirds is a weekly play group for parents and little ones in Larchfield. How can people get involved?
We would really like it if anyone has some free time on a Wednesday morning just to come and chat to the parents and play with the children. We have got an absolutely rammed full Larchfield Community Centre full of children and parents at the moment, and we as a team just don't get round to speak to every one of them. So if you just have a sort of an hour and a half free every Wednesday morning, then yeah, we'd love to have you there to chat to the mums and children.
Great, and very accessible. Linda runs Larchfield Open Table, a monthly get together for families in and around Larchfield with a free meal, games and Bible stories. Now, how can people help out Larchfield Open Table?
Okay, if you're around, it happens once a month, the first Tuesday of the month, and guests come from 5:30 till 7, but we ask helpers to come half an hour either of those sides to help set up and clear away. The nice thing is that if you, we can all do different things. So if you're not sure about launching straight into talking with the guests, there's washing up, there's doing the register, there's putting up the tables, and then you can feel your way gently into it and talk if you want to and play with the kids and so on. It's really a great event. We're going to be launching, hopefully, next year, another open table in the town centre. And we're going to be running some training, quite a bit of training for people, so it's a good time to come on board. But if you just want to get a taste for what's involved, come along, give me a ring, or just turn up at Larchfield Community Centre on the first Tuesday of every month, not in August though, and just come and see what it's like. Come and have some food and just stay there and just get a sense of what it's like. I'm the first table by the piano, and I've got a sign-up sheet for anyone who's interested. There's no commitment. Okay, thanks.
Great. Thanks, Linda. Now, Hannah and Georgie, look at you. They win the prize for coordination. Come on, everyone. All right, Think Pink. Recharge R&R is on my list. It's a weekly community group supporting mums with parenting stress and any challenges in life. How can people get involved practically at the moment?
Okay, practically, we run three sessions in and around Maidenhead. So we're based in Larchfield, First Platte and Maidenhead Town Centre. We currently have 12 volunteers that are fantastic, that spread themselves throughout the three sessions. But we are always needing and looking for more volunteers. And that could cover a whole wide range, whatever you feel that you're good at giving. It could be to help Georgie out with admin, and there's loads of that, and she could really do with some support. So if you're particularly good on a computer, spreadsheets, typing, printing, whatever, please let us know. Likewise, setting up the sessions in the morning, we could do with some help. Setting down, shutting down a session at the end of the day. If there's any school teachers that are retired that are particularly good with energetic young children, please come along. We're always keen to bring some educational skills in to these young families and the children there. You can come along and just sit and chat and have a cup of tea or coffee or help make the tea and coffee. And we would love to see you there. So if you're not quite sure what we're about, please come along and join in. The conversations are hysterical, let me tell you. Slightly shocking at times, but it's just great fun. It's a lovely place to be, so feel free to pop in.
Great. Thanks, Anna. And finally, Helen from Family Friends with some fans. Wow. Did you prompt them or... Wow, that's amazing. That's good. All right, you're getting one up on everyone. That's very good. So Family Friends is a local charity providing short-term support for families facing difficult times. How can people get involved, Helen?
Well, we have a bank of about 50 volunteers, and I'm one. And we work with these families, helping them overcome difficulties they're currently facing because they haven't got anyone else to turn to. The difference, listening to the other people, is actually we work in people's homes. So you go to people's homes and you work with them over this particular difficulty that they're facing. It's only short term, so you'd be a couple of hours a week for probably a 2-week stretch at a time. And you can be flexible about when that time is to fit in with what fits in with you. You will get a lot of training and a lot of support, an incredible amount of support, so you won't feel isolated. And if you hit something, you think, well, I'm not sure what I should do or what I should say, there we have professional staff in the office who'll be there supporting you through it. It's incredibly fulfilling and it's quite demanding. So you've got to be emotionally resilient to be really to get the most out of it for yourself and to give the most to the families.
Fantastic. Great. Give these guys another round of applause. Thank you all. You may be released to your stalls. So guys, we're gonna stop now. Kids aren't ready. Kids, I'm sure, are happy. We've got 10 minutes now before the kids need collecting. Just go around, talk to these people. They've given up their Sundays, quite a few of them to be here. Find out about it, how you can get involved. I'd like to think between these things and between the Secret Service thing that we're launching, there really is something for everyone. You know, if you're struggling and you kind of go, Dave, I really don't think there is, come and talk to me. I'd love to hear from you and find something else. Just to close, we're going to play a song and just pick some pictures of people. And again, it's just a reminder of what it's all about, actually, guys. At the end of the day, it's about us loving and serving people in our community.